Welcome to Corporate Cafecito, a podcast based on professional development, career growth, and respecting our cultural identity. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Corporate Cafecito. Yo soy Nayeli Suarez Guest, and today with me is Araceli Garza. Welcome.
Thank you, Nayeli. So glad to be here.
So for those of you who don't know Araceli, she has had probably one of the most interesting lives. And when I say interesting, I don't mean easy. Like, it's probably really hard doing everything that you did. And I know I can't describe it to its fullest. She is an architect, but not just like a regular architect. So tell us a little bit about like how you started, where you're from, and more importantly, as you could see from her shirt, Columbia University. Tell us about your academic.
Yes. So grew up, born in Little Village, grew up there. And at the age of 9, we moved to Mexico. I was really close to my grandparents. And my grandparents decided to retire in Mexico, especially my grandmother. She had come, they had come to the States. My grandfather came here through the Bracero program, and then he was able to bring his whole family. So my mom and my uncle, their nuclear family, were brought here as toddlers, basically, and they grew up here. But my grandmother always wanted to raise her children in Mexico. So we became her children to take back home. So go to Mexico, 9 years old, don't know much Spanish.
How long did you think you'd be there?
I thought I'd be there for a year because I didn't know the language. And I remember being that first day of school in fourth grade, mm-hmm. I was pulled back a year and they gave us a test. And I walk up to the teacher and I'm like, I couldn't even communicate with her. Like, didn't anybody tell you that I don't know any Spanish? Like, I can't even read it. And I remember getting a zero on that exam, like my first zero, because I was in, you know, honor roll here, perfect attendance, and was, you know, doing well in school. So getting that zero, I was like, oh, my God, what is this? I'm not a zero. And over there, the system is so differently, right? It's, you know, it's graded from 0 to 10, 10 being the best, and mm-hmm. zero. So learning a new language in a new environment without my mom, because my parents stayed here in Chicago, that was probably like, it was, it was a little bit shattering. But having my grandparents there and their support and just knowing that they were the ones believing in us was beautiful. Moved there with my sister, who's 3 years younger than I am.
We always talk about kids being like resilient and learning quickly. How long did it take you to feel like you knew Spanish?
It was a matter of months. It was a matter of months because by the end of that year, I was
now nada nos entra. I can't learn a new language.
Exactly. Yeah. But it was wonderful, right? And I made new friends. And what I remember the most about this school is that it was so open. Everything was outdoors. So we had the classrooms and you open the door and you're outside.
Yeah.
And it was always springtime. I grew up in San Luis Potosí. So, you know, the median temperature is beautiful year round. That's why my grandparents decided to move there and retire there. And so I said, you know, when it was time to come back, I was like, well, let me finish grammar school.
Yeah, I'm not ready.
Let me just sexto grado, right? Sixth grade comes along and I'm like, okay, no, not yet.
Now all my friends are going to la prepa.
La secundaria.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
La secundaria. Yeah. And so did that. And then la prepa and then did that. And then my grandmother got really sick. And that's when we came home. We came back to Chicago and was here that summer. And she had stage 4 cancer, so there was just a matter of time trying to make her comfortable, and then she was gone. And she was, I was like, now what? And I remember going through, so my mom is trying to figure out, you know, what to do with two teenage girls, basically. Yeah. You know, do they go back home? My grandfather is like mourning his own way. And I was on a bus on Fullerton. We lived near Logan Square, and was on a bus on Fullerton heading to go see my grandmother. And I see, you know, one of those bus ads that says Wright College. And I was like, I'm going to go, you know, check it out, what Wright College is all about.
Yeah.
Walk into Wright College, and I enroll myself, unbeknown to my mom, of what to do. Because she's like, I don't know. I'm the first one to ever even consider going to college.
I love that you went to Wright College. And for those of you who don't know what Wright College is, it's a community college in the city of Chicago. I went there too. I took some of my classes that I thought were I was already going to UIC, but I wanted classes, like I wanted to catch up and do faster. And only because I changed my major so many times that I was like, oh no, I'm behind now. And so I would go to Wright College like on evenings or during the summer to catch up. Yeah.
And to me, Wright College, it was the new experience, because now I come back and now I don't know English. I don't know English at a college level, right? So I think, if I recall, we tried to go to UIC, but, you know, they're like, well, your English scores are too low. You have to, you know, do ESL, basically, right?
So when I was starting UIC, I took the placement exam, and I had just spent like a month and a half in Mexico, because that's where your parents ship you for the summers. And I remember telling them, like, give me one week and let me retest, because I just got off a plane from Mexico and I need to switch my English brain back
switch
on.
Switch your brain.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I did test again, and then they were like, okay.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing how your brain works?
That also tells you like switching. The time, right? Like think about that. Back in that day, I could be like, no, please let me take the test again. I don't know if they would do that these days.
Right. Right. No, you got to wait till next year or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a whole system there in place. Well, started with, you know, English, like, I don't know, 90. But I already knew I wanted to study architecture. Like, that has always been my calling almost. So even at Wright College, I started taking the drafting courses. Or the architectural history, whatever I could take that would keep me in that field.
Yeah.
Because now I was in this new world and didn't quite know how to navigate it. But again, right, I learned it quickly. Writing and taking my English courses was an outlet almost for me, because we had to do a lot of writing, right, to improve yourself. And that became beautiful, to write about my experience of coming back and what I was going through.
Right. Or even the experience of like leaving and coming back. So I'm going to ask you a little bit about that, because I know we're going to go into like all your education, but like, you know, we always say La India Maria, right? Ni de aquí, ni de allá. But you are de aquí y de allá.
Yes.
And is there one place you feel more at home, or do you think you've like mastered it?
Oh, that's a tough one. that's a tough one, because I embrace being bicultural, like truly bicultural and truly understanding both sides of the fence, so to speak, right? And even though now I've been here longer than what I lived in Mexico, those were my formative years.
Yeah.
Right. Then those were the ones where you set roots, and that has always pulled me back. So I carry that with me all the time in my work, in my daily life, right? It's hard to separate, but certainly I am also Mexican American, and I wear that proudly too. Yeah. And I embrace that, and
dual
I understand
citizenship?
You know, I'm working. I had it, and then you know, at 18, we came back.
You had to pick one.
Right.
Back then, you had to choose. One. You could not be both. Now you can be both.
Yes, I had to choose. Yeah. So I'm working on that and the whole passport thing and stuff. So hopefully,
you're gonna be like Jason Bourne, soon. Show up with like four passports.
Which one am I gonna use today? Yeah.
Okay, so you start right college, you're doing all the architecture classes, and then what do you do?
And then I couldn't find my space here. I couldn't find my spot here. And I was longing to go back to Mexico. So in talking with one of the counselors at Wright College, and I attribute to him pretty much the person who laid a foundation on me. I said, I need to go back. And these are the different universities that I'd like to go back to. So how can I get myself back there? At this point, I had been at Wright College maybe about a year and a half. I was acing everything. Oh my God, the first time I got a notice that I was on the dean's list, I thought it was a bad thing. I go,
you're like, I don't want to be on his list.
I don't want to be on his list. Who is this person? I did something wrong. And I tell my mom, and she's like, no, it's a good thing. I said, but what does it mean?
Can they just count it on a roll like everyone else?
The dean's list. So I was like, okay, so it's a good thing. And she's like, yes, it's a good thing. It's a really good thing. And you know, getting really good grades. And he said, well, why do you want to go back? And I said, well, I don't know what I'm going to do here. I don't like the weather. The people are different. The school is all closed. And this was at the old college campus of Wright.
So it was
still like very
high. It was like a high school. It's a high school now.
It's a high school. And it's cold.
He might have graduated there. Or he did. He graduated already.
Yeah. And it's cold. It's just cold. The building is cold. The environment was cold. And I said, I miss my Mexico.
I miss outside.
So he's like, all right, we started to meet, right? Like once a week, trying to make up a plan of how that was going to transition back. And he's like, Araceli, what if I were to tell you that I can give you a scholarship to stay here and finish your associate?
Okay, I'm listening.
I'm the first one to go to college of my family. So I'm the oldest of four. And to me, like, you know, the cost of any college, right?
It was crazy
to my family, even though it was a city college, right? It just put a strain on everybody. And I was like, well, what do you mean a scholarship? He's like, we'll give you a full tuition scholarship if you stay.
Whoa.
And I applied to it. And he's like, just finish here, complete an associate's, and we'll figure out how to get you to the next school. And so I stayed. That's how I stayed. I think otherwise I probably would have returned to Mexico and become an architect over there, but it would have been very different.
Right.
So graduated from Wright College, and he helped me figure out how to go to IIT.
Which is an amazing school.
It's like the Illinois Institute of Technology, right? It is a great architecture school. However, at this point, I already had 3 years at a city college, right? Because remember, I had to kind of work my way up through that English every semester, every summer. Yeah. And I was going to school, year round.
It was my full-time job.
Yes, it was. I had some part-time jobs here and there, but it was my focus.
What were some of your part-time jobs?
Okay. I worked in the Brickyard Mall. That was close to my house.
At a store?
I worked for the mall. Oh. My very first job was as a Santa's helper, as an elf. And they had us wear these, like, you know, the ears, the hat and everything. And we took pictures of the kids, the crying kids. And, you know, would open up the mall and close up the mall. open and close, count the money. Everything was cash back then. Yep. Print out the pictures, give them to the parents and stuff. But it was a fun job because everybody was, you know, kind of high school, college and stuff. So that was like my first job. And then the mall decided to keep me. And then I became like a customer service rep. So if you needed, I don't know, new coupons or wrapping or what's the bathroom or strollers. Because back then,
they rented the strollers. Yep. Yes. I love those.
Yes. So that's what I did. That was my very first job at the Brickyard Mall.
And now we're setting our eyes on IIT. And I think it's important, right? Like I used to waitress and I used to do like every single job. And like you think about like all the different jobs and it's like if you saw a Santa's helper, if you saw an elf at the mall, would you think that person's about to go to IIT to work on architecture? Like I want the vision of like, you can dream big, even if you're like holding crying babies, taking their pictures.
Yes. And that just seemed like such a dream. Like, oh my God, I'm going to a real university now.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And on top of that, with the help of this counselor, was able to obtain a big scholarship to enter there.
Amazing.
Right. I would say about 80% of my tuition was covered.
Wow. There.
And even though I was a transfer student at IIT, the program is a 5-year program. They only counted 1 year. So my 3 years only became one
year. So you've now lost a year when you went to Mexico.
Right.
A year when you came back. And now you're going to lose 2 years.
2 years.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. And you know,
did you think like, this is ridiculous?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Of course I would think that. I was like, why?
Yeah, right? Me hubieran dicho.
But even though they credited a lot of my transfer credits, it was this idea that we need to shape you as an IIT grad, right? To really understand and immerse yourself into it. So I had a lot of electives because a lot of my previous credits and classes were transferred, just the architecture ones were not. So I had a lot of opportunities to choose other electives and explore within the college there. And on top of that, because of the scholarships, I was able to live on campus.
Nice.
And that was, even though it's in the south side of Chicago, my house was on the north side of Chicago. It was a big deal.
Yeah.
It was a big deal. It was my first time living on my own.
How old were you by this time?
I was probably like 21.
Okay.
Yeah, 21 when I transferred there. And
you know what? The first time I lived on my own, I was 21 too.
Yeah.
Yeah, because before then, my parents were like, oh, no.
No. And I
and even then,
yes.
Yeah, even then, when I moved out, yeah, my dad was like, no te doy permiso. I was like, I'm not asking you.
Yeah, I don't think I even like
said, gotta go.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm going.
Yeah.
It was like this, it's made up, right?
Yeah.
And being in architecture school, because back then it was all hand drawn, right? It was ink on Mylar. It was you had to be in studio all the time. Mm-hmm. So leaving studio at 3 o'clock in the morning to drive back home or something like that, it just wouldn't.
It wouldn't have been safe either.
Right. Yeah. So spent there 4 years, did a study abroad program.
Where?
You know, I studied in Italy, in Tuscany. It was beautiful, wonderful. And then from there, we would travel all over Italy, Europe. Backpacking, staying in hostels.
I love that.
It's such a great experience, I think, for any
I think everybody needs to do it.
To go.
I went to Vienna and I studied abroad over there and it was just so interesting because one, I did not speak German. And I got there and I was like, I don't know how to ask for water. like, I don't know how to buy anything here. I don't know. And, you know, back then I had my American Express traveler checks. Because there was no, like,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
We may have had an ATM card. I can't remember. Yeah, I would have had an ATM card, right? Yeah. Yeah, we would have had one. But it was just such an interesting, like, experience to be over there. Yeah. And it just made the world feel so much more connected.
Yes. Yes. And just to learn how other people live, mm-hmm. and how they see the world. And it just really opens your own horizons of understanding that we're not, it's not just here. It's not just Chicago. It's so much bigger than you.
Right.
Right. So graduating from there, from IIT, went on to work, was working at a small firm, mm-hmm. as an architect. During college, I had some internships. Mm-hmm. I was a model maker.
How did you find them?
Through other friends there.
You know,
teachers.
I think that one of the things we underleverage is our network and how much people want to help us. And so when you have a network, when you have friends, when you're like, use them,
right?
Like, call, ask for help, tell people what you want. There's always going to be someone who could be like, I can get you, maybe I may not get you there, but I can get you closer.
I can open the door.
Yeah, right?
I can make an introduction. I'll, you know, talk to this person.
Yeah.
And it was my major one. It was a very prominent firm here in Chicago, and I was a model maker. So I was in the back in the wood shop making models and stuff, right? I wasn't quite drafting yet. But that's how you work your way up.
Yeah.
Right? You pay your dues there. And then I got to drafting, and I was like, literally, I remember the sets were like this thick, right? We were working, one of the projects I was working on was a Chicago Board of Trade.
Mm.
And it was all
hand drawn.
And then those corrections, it was Mylar, vellum on top of the Mylar, and you take that and then you do blueprints. And so I would run blueprints, and that ammonia smell, like I could smell it. Like, it was like fresh. It was so cool to see the blueprint, like, you know, you don't make, how you make the copies, yeah. and stuff, and yeah. inform everybody, the whole team, on how to be building
how
it.
How to do it, yeah.
And then going to the job site, right? Like, really opening up yourself to those kinds of experiences. You know, I remember being at a catwalk. We were at the Chicago Board of Trade, at the catwalk that was, I don't know.
What's like, a catwalk?
It's this narrow walkway, mm-hmm. up very high up in the ceiling, so that if there ever needs to be anything replaced up there, there's somewhere
there's
walk,
to stand,
because ladders won't get that high. You know,
does every building have one of those?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, this mm-hmm. one in particular did, because it was a high ceiling. It was mm-hmm. like 6-8 stories high on the inside. So it was an open space.
And just thinking about that, like, no, thank you.
So cool. You're like up there and stuff, looking at how the pieces get to together, and you see it on the drawing, and then you see it there, and you know, you start to make those connections, right? Because back then we were drawing a lot in 2D, in 2D, two mm-hmm. dimensions.
Yeah. Not like now where it's just like,
it's all,
and they're 3D. Like, and then flip it, and yeah, then like, this is what it looks like upside down.
If you want to change the orientation, you know,
yeah.
It's so different. But that gave me my first experience, right? And to like put it on my resume, and you know, I was working on campus because I needed to work on campus too for work studies to pay for some of the tuition, and then in studio for, I don't know, 12 hours, 15 hour days, and we would sleep on the sofa, sleep under our tables. You couldn't move the drawings. My mom would say, come home for the weekend. I can't move it. My model is there. I can't move it. Wonderful experience from there. Went on to continue my professional work. Upon graduation, I had already an internship set up, and mm-hmm. it was my first job was with another, my first full-time job, I should say, was with another Latina architect that is now, you know, has done amazing buildings here in Chicago, and still keep in touch with her, and she has been an amazing mentor. Gave me the opportunity to start there. And to start.
I love that. Lift as you climb.
Yeah. And, you know, I was working at a, I was already out of school. Maybe I was so busy doing Chicago Public School projects and CHA projects and managing multiple projects at the same time, getting field experience. You know, it was one of those things because we were so small. The office was small. It was like you just got thrown out there.
Yeah, you get to do and you touched everything.
Figure it out.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And having her support on just navigating this new field, you know, because you see it on paper one way and then you're out in the field and you have the contractors like asking you, well, what do we put here? And you've seen the piece, but you don't know what it's called. And you're like, I'm going to get back to you. Issue an RFI, you know, to gain some time so that you can go and do some research on whatever it is that we need
to do. What's an RFI?
A request for information that contractors will send to architects when they want clarification.
Gotcha.
And then you want to keep that paper trail because if they don't put that, then you can go back and say, well, you asked for it. We said this. You put something else. Now you got to fix it.
Okay.
Paper trail. Project management, paper trail of everything. And I was immensely busy. I loved it. And I had always wanted to go to graduate school. At this point, I had already been teaching also some high school bridge programs at IIT. So for the high school students that are interested in pursuing a career in architecture, I would lead the summer program there at IIT. So it was a summer program. We would get students from all over the country. Mm-hmm. And it was an immersive experience of everything about architecture.
Like a real architect.
Yes. History and drawing and drafting and model making all in like 3-week span.
Yeah.
Right? And so we were doing that, but I wanted to teach at a college level as well. Mm-hmm. That was something that I wanted to do. So the dean there at IIT said, well, you need to get your master's.
Go to grad school.
So.
But she didn't pick just any grad school. No. That's not Araceli.
No, because at this point I'm like, well, if I'm going to go to grad school, I got to make it count.
Yeah.
I got to make it count.
We're only going one time.
Yeah. We're only going one time and not to knock down any other schools, but it's got to be a top school for architecture. So what are those top schools, right? Yeah. Harvard, Columbia are always competing for that number one spot in architecture. Cornell, Syracuse, UPenn, Yale. And so I went off and started applying everywhere, right? Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of work because you got letters of recommendation.
Oh, yeah. Essays. You got to do
paper portfolio back then. Oh. All right. And it was 8.5 by 11 and every school had their own parameters because they don't want you to submit the same thing that you submitted to the other school.
Oh, wow. So it's interesting. I was helping an architect find a job. And I remember like we had to like put on his resume all these digital links to all of his portfolios and the works that have actually been created.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh yeah, this is a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. It was a lot of work.
And I can't imagine doing it in paper. Like this was
digital.
Yeah, this was like a PDF of this and a link to his portfolio. And I was just like, whoa.
Yes. And getting, you know, I had big models and now I had to take pictures and little and this and that. So was very applied everywhere to the top schools and got into Columbia, got into Cornell, got into Syracuse.
So you were going to New York no matter what.
Going East Coast, right? That's where it was calling me. And Columbia was the one that offered me a scholarship, basically.
You're like, and the winner is, thank you very much.
Yes, pretty much.
Yeah.
You know, it's a huge endeavor to take on graduate school, but it's a huge financial endeavor as well.
It is.
It's not an easy ticket.
I would say I think I paid off my student loans like maybe 3-4 years ago.
Yeah.
And I haven't been in school for 16 years.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I'm still, close.
Yeah.
Not very close. But you know,
mine was not an Ivy League.
yes. So Columbia. Go there. New York City. It is busy. I don't know anybody. I don't have family in New York. I pack up my car with whatever could fit and drove out.
Here we go.
Finding an apartment in New York City, Manhattan. That is something else. Found an apartment. I think I showed up at like 3 o'clock in the morning, and then the doorman is like, "Oh, you can't move right now. It's up in my car. It's full of my stuff." It's like, "Oh, we have moving hours." And I was like, "Help me.
I'm so tired.
I'm so tired. Just drove 60 hours. You gotta help me." He's like, "Okay, but do it quietly." Yeah, I was like, "Okay, I'll unload,
yeah,
and then I'll take it, you know, do like one or two elevator rides and stuff." And there it was, my first apartment.
How big was it?
It was a two-bedroom. I had a roommate who I had never met, right across from Columbia. And it was still smaller than usual, but it's old building. It's a pre-war building, so very, very unique.
Yeah.
Very unique spaces, very tight spaces. But I didn't spend much time there because all my time was usually at school, mm-hmm, at Columbia. But very quickly I realized that it's a very affluent school.
Yeah, it is.
It's a very affluent school. And again,
I want to ask you though, you researched top architectural schools?
Yes.
Okay. Because I think a lot of times, and you know, I was in this camp of like, I don't even know what schools are out there. And sometimes I hear people name schools and they're like, "Oh, that's a good school." I'm like, "Never heard of it." How did you research it?
How did I research it? That's a good one. I think, through undergraduate school, you start to learn what are the programs out there, mm-hmm, that are significant.
Yeah.
Especially in architecture. I think architecture is a field that is, it comes of privilege, right? And in my undergraduate program, right, Latinos were very few of us.
Mm-hmm.
And as you attain higher education, that number even decreases sharply.
Yeah.
Think at Columbia, in my program of 80 students, there were 5 Latinos, and I was the only Latina among the 5.
Were there, right? other women?
There were other women, just not Latinas, yeah, right?
I would just imagine like the Latins are underrepresented and women are, mm-hmm, underrepresented, and you were like unique, the only one.
In there. However, I must say that for any educational program, I think the school, it's 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of women in school studying architecture.
Mm-hmm.
It's just when you leave the school, it declines sharply because the opportunities are not very favorable for women. And
what does
the
that
demands
mean
for it? Well, when you get out of school in architecture, you work long hours. It's a given. You got to pay your dues. And I think it's changing nowadays. But when I first graduated in the early 2000s, it's like 12-hour days were the norm.
Yeah.
You walk in at 8-9 and you're there till 8-9. It was not unheard of.
Right.
And I think as women start to form families,
that 12-hour day is hard.
It's hard. You can't.
When you graduated Columbia, which by the way, congratulations. Is that when you started your own firm?
No, because I decided to stay at, so I graduated Columbia, mm-hmm, with a master's in advanced architectural design, right? And then while there, I'm always trying to figure out how do you build? You don't just build, right?
So it's 2x4s, a couple nails,
a couple nails, make it work. But the business of building.
Yeah.
And while there, I was taking some electives in the program in business school, and then also in real estate development. So in the spring semester, I started to think, okay, what am I going to do? Because either I go to B school mm-hmm. and learn about the business, general business, or I do a focused real estate development degree. Mm-hmm. And that was that. That's what I had decided. So I said, I'm already not working. I might as well continue. I'm already in student mode.
Yeah.
And I'm never going to take
this time off. You're never going to do it again.
Just pursue another graduate degree. Mm-hmm. So I graduated at Columbia with a master's in advanced architectural design and a master's in real estate development. So I have two masters from Columbia University. Yes. And I decided to stay there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm already in New York City. It's like, might as well, right? That's one of the cities that is has constantly
opportunity
building.
Yes. Yep.
Constantly building. But it wasn't easy to get my first job there. It was tough because now everybody wants an Ivy League grad on their team. So mm-hmm. now I'm not only competing for the Columbia, but I'm competing with Cornell grads, Harvard grads, UPenn grads, right? Yale, everybody. And it was hard. It was hard. And then I didn't have my network. I didn't have my professional network set up there either. And so started to attend different events, mm-hmm. Latino-oriented events, started to plug in, trying to. I remember I went to the Career Center there at Columbia, and they're, oh, you got this. You got the experience. This is great.
Yeah.
I probably sent out resumes to like 50 places. And I was losing hope. Like, this was the first time that I felt like,
oh my God.
What did I do?
Oh no.
What did I do? You know, I needed to be working in real estate development somehow, some way.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, like, just that slight moment where you think, this is it.
Ya se acabó.
Ya se acabó. Mm-hmm. Ya no tengo dinero. I got to go back home. I'm wiped out. Yeah. That's it. That's when the opportunity started to come. Right? Yeah. Like, last minute. And at this point, I was tired, I was strained, I was financially, you know, tight. And so got a corporate job with Cushman & Wakefield. Cushman & Wakefield is a global real estate conglomerate, pretty much. Mm-hmm. And started to take on that path and understanding more on the business of building.
That's amazing. When did you start your firm?
I started my firm late 2020.
Okay.
So many years after.
And you are female owned, Latina owned, all those things. What made you want to start your own thing?
To have more control of the process and the types of projects that I want to do. I've been in this field already for 25 years. And I've worked on multi-million dollar projects, beautiful high-end projects, and I've worked on affordable housing projects. And what I have realized is that how the investments are created, how they're done, where they're focused.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's time. It's time for our communities to have good design. Why do we have to go to the north side, to that special restaurant, to that special place,
right?
You know, and I want to have an impact in my own community in developing those projects. And I'm working on that. It hasn't been easy at all.
We're getting there. I remember last September when we were trying to plan a girls' weekend, you were at a conference, and it was like a Latina architecture.
It's a women's leadership summit. Yes, hosted by the AIA. The AIA is the American Institute of Architects, and it's the organization that holds all the architects throughout the country, right? Everybody, that's the organization to be in, to be a part in. But they started to create these women-focused
conferences. I love that, because I think sometimes we feel like we're alone.
Oh, absolutely.
And then you, like, in so, you know, when you're in business or when you're running your own business, or if you're in a field that is so male-dominated, like, it's very hard sometimes to look and find someone who looks like you.
Right.
And so I love that they're doing that.
Yes, yes, especially at a national level. Absolutely.
I hate that it takes you away when I'm always like, hey, what if we go away this weekend? And you're like, nope.
Can't do it. Because it's important to me also to, like, really connect with other women who understand.
Yeah.
Just the challenges. Not that any other woman wouldn't, but in this field, it is very, very, very different. And the more years, the higher titles that you get, it just becomes very...
Right. Right. And as you go, like, year over year, you start seeing the same people. Right. You start building those relationships and you create that network.
Yes. And I love that this network is truly across the country.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's awesome to hear other stories, other challenges, other solutions, and just to network and to be among other amazing women too.
Yeah.
And what they've done. To hear from them. Some of the keynote speakers just come to mind. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, wow, okay. That didn't just happen to me, you know.
Yeah, no, we find, like, energy in knowing that other people have gone through this or understand it or, you know,
right. Know
what it's like. Even if it was bad, at least we were both bad.
Right, right.
So I just, I love talking to you. I love your experience. I love it. You know, Araceli and I have the good luck, unbeknownst to us, to live on the same street. Not the same block, but the same street and not too far from each other. But, you know, we bonded over being Latina entrepreneurs. And when you find the group that motivates you and inspires you and, like, brings you together, it's really important to cultivate that. And if you look back, like you were talking about how coming out of Colombia, which you would think is like, like, here we go, hire me. You know, you still needed that network.
Yes.
And so I love that now through these professional associations, you're kind of finding that network of people who look like you and sound like you and have gone through everything that you went through.
Right. And now, I mean, what I'm creating is really a place, a firm, a company that will also empower other women that are interested in this field. There's not that many of us. And that's what I'm striving to create is, you know, to create other architects and other developers, so that the places that we live, that we enjoy, are created by us for us.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
Well, you can find Araceli on LinkedIn. She's Araceli Garza, and then you have all these letters next to your name. What does that mean?
Well, it's AIA, which is the American Institute of Architects. It's NCARB, the National Accreditation Board. So that allows me to practice architecture anywhere around the country except California and Florida, where I would need to take additional credentials. I am also a LEED accredited professional, which is the leadership in environmental and energy design. So, you know, try to lead.
What that stood for.
Yeah, try to lead with sustainability, right? Yeah. I mean, that's what we need to do now is to really build responsibly.
100%.
And identify the best ways, the best practices to make buildings that are sustainable, reliant, and, you know, that will test the time.
Yeah,
timeless.
So you barely drink it because we've been talking so good, so well, but how do you take your cafecito?
I take it with some cream. Yeah,
café con leche. All right, well, thank you for joining us. You know, feel free to reach out. She's an amazing resource for our community, and we're so immensely proud to count you as one of our own. So felicidades.
Yeah.
And join us next time on Corporate Cafecito. Oh,